Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. In last week's program, we looked at why evangelical Christians are rejoicing in Trump's victory and the key Bible verses to springboard into that discussion were Proverbs 28:12, when the righteous triumph, there is great glory, and Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous increase, the people rejoice, but when a wicked man rules, people groan. In this week's program, I'd like to discuss the opposing response, why the left is enraged over Trump's victory. And there are also two proverbs to launch into that discussion. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 15. The exercise of justice is joy for the righteous, but it's a terror for the workers of iniquity. And Proverbs chapter 10, verse 29. The way of the Lord is a stronghold to the upright, but ruin to the workers of iniquity. It's really the same Hebrew word that's used in both verses, even though in 21:15 it's translated terror, and in chapter 10, verse 19, it's translated ruin. It's the same Hebrew word. The word means the demolition of something, destruction, hardship, and hence a state of fear, anxiety, terror. In Hebrew parallelism, the workers of iniquity are experiencing the polar opposite of the joy that the righteous are experiencing. And these verses call these people those who work iniquity. It describes those whose lives violate the word of God. They ignore the moral law of God. Biblical justice, not woke justice, but biblical justice and the ways of God are considered ruin and destruction. As in this article in The Atlantic, the terrifying future of the American right. The exercise of justice is a terror for the workers of iniquity. And in all of these articles, they fear losing the right to murder their babies, and they fear losing the right to engage in deviant sexual behavior. Even Satan considers the ways of God to be the source of his ruin, because his arrogant autonomy is taken away from him. He and his followers don't get to rewrite the moral order of the universe. So, to begin our discussion as to why the political left is so enraged over the election results, realize that the cause is ideological. It's about beliefs and worldview. Yes, the political left is angry because of the threat of losing their funding, their positions, their prestige, and their power. But all of that is secondary. The real anger is that their ideology, their worldview, is being contradicted and challenged. You know, think about the opposition to Christ in his day. Why were the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin and all the Sadducees enraged over Jesus? So much so that they murdered him. I've often asked that question when reading the Gospels. Were they sincerely trying to defend Israel against false teachers? Was it just jealousy because Jesus was attracting more people to himself? Did they really think Jesus would create a revolution and the Romans would invade? Well, all of those were secondary reasons. In other words, if there wasn't also an ideological opposition to Jesus, a disdain for his teaching, which was convicting them of sin, none of those reasons would have been applied to Jesus. The leadership of Israel would not have created all of those secondary objections. For example, if it weren't for Trump's transcendent moral positions, the left would never have claimed that Trump is a Nazi, a fascist, that he's going to destroy democracy, that he's a racist, that he's going to create inflation with tariffs, that he favors dictators. All of those arguments were just smokescreens for deeper ideological opposition. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18, he who conceals hatred has lying lips. Because if they liked Trump's core ideological worldview, they would have spun any of Trump's idiosyncrasies in a positive direction, just like they did for Biden and Kamala. So it's not just partisanship about which party gets to be in power. It is true that some people are enraged when other people take their power, even when the opposing party pretty much believes the same thing they do. But in this case, the anger is mainly ideological differences. There is a clip circulating on the internet of Trump on the ABC morning show called The View before he ran for office in 2016. Notice how much Trump was loved by these women before he ran for office, before he put forth his moral positions.
Please welcome my friend, Donald Trump. We're so happy to have you. Whenever you're on, with us, we're very happy.
Well, we love it.
Okay, so I'm going to take you at your word that you have not decided yet when you're going to run, but you're thinking about it and you've expressed.
If you did be.
And she likes me. She even put me in a movie.
I was just going to say.
She put me in a movie,
yes,
right? A long time ago. So how much should I charge? Nothing.
Like they say in the
Garden. It's a freebie.
I'm telling you.
And you know what, Barbara? You know what? Look.
It's real.
It's really mine. You know.
Is there anything here? Come on, baby. We've gone through a few things together over the years.
She is very sexy. I want to tell you.
He knows how to get to me. Listen, Donald. So far, there's nothing you haven't been successful at. You're a great character. You're a great friend of ours.
But now these same people see Trump as the devil. What has changed? Well, of course, the left has moved further to the left. But also, once it became known that Trump was contradicting their moral positions, the love turned to hate. Last week, on The View, Whoopi Goldberg dialogued about how Americans should not invite Trump voters to their Thanksgiving dinner. Quote from Goldberg. Someone who tells me that my child is wrong because of how he or she feels, that tells me they should not be allowed to be who they want to be with my permission, I don't want to put my gay child in that position with someone who doesn't understand her. So notice that this is not about economics or government spending, but the big issue for Whoopi Goldberg and for so many others is the acceptance of transgenderism. And we can add to that abortion. Why? I mean, what's the big deal? Because it represents something bigger than even those issues. It's about affirming the sexual liberation of people, breaking away from the law of nature and nature's God. It's a love and allegiance for the spirit of the age. The Psalm chapter 2 prophecy, where the kings of the earth, they take their stand, and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. They don't want to be under the sovereign authority of God's law. And remember Jesus' words in Matthew 24, in the last days, lawlessness will increase. People are moral, spiritual creatures. And there's a war against God, and that's the source of the rage. Remember how Psalm chapter 2 begins. Why do the nations rage? And this is what we're seeing in our social leaders. And why are they devising vain and empty policy? Because they want to break God's courts. Two sides are forming. One is either on the team of me remaking the world by overthrowing God's moral law in favor of human freedom and autonomy, or one is on the side of the team supporting the law of nature and nature's God. And the Trump victory and all of his appointments represent something much bigger than just a party being called the Republican Party winning an election. It represents the defeat of the left's ideological worldview objectives. Even belaying the truth that the majority of Americans are not yet fully on their side. And that's especially disheartening for them since the left determines truth by the majority. Transgenderism and LGBTQ is today being taught as an act of virtue, of courage, of honesty, because one is being honest with his own desires and his own nature. And as in the teachings of the philosophers in the Enlightenment, the world will become a much better place if only our outward behavior conforms to our inner nature. Therefore, those who hold to the moral constraints of the past, those who hold to the moral constraints of Christianity, are now considered the problem with this world. As Nietzsche taught, for people to flourish, they must overthrow the oppressions of morality. Morality is keeping people down. And young people are being taught this, and they're being taught to interrupt the status quo. And the bakers and the florists and the faculty who will not go along with this new religion are considered evil. They're being fired, they're being censored, they're being arrested. How much more when the president of the United States now opposes transgenderism and has committed himself to removing it from every aspect of government? Conservatives may fail to realize just how big this transgender movement is in America. Don't forget that during Pride Month and Transgender Month, the federal government and whole federal government agencies celebrate transgenderism, bringing in transgender speakers and seminars. Judges, the whole legal profession, university educators, politicians are all supporting transgender athletes in women's sports. I mean, this is what Kamala Harris was running on. Last month, one of the volleyball coaches at the University of San Francisco was fired for even questioning a transgender male being put on the girls' volleyball team. And now the president of the United States is saying that he's going to remove government funding from any school that promotes transgenderism in sports. Trump is challenging their pagan religious beliefs that they're fully invested in, that they've been fully invested in for the last 25 years. He is undermining the very core principles of pagan humanism. And the means by which these pagan ideologues have been promoting their religion is that the Biden administration put in every department of government hired pagan chaplains. And they were called DEI officers. And they were put there as part of senior staff. And their sole purpose was to force everyone to accept, hire, and promote transgender-believing individuals and to punish anyone who objects. But now, every single one of Trump's cabinet appointees have vowed to eliminate all DEI officers and initiative from every department of government. Here's an article that just came out this morning. Trump's new choice for chairman of the FCC, Brendan Carr, is also vowing to end DEI at the FCC. That currently the FCC stated in its budget request to Congress that DEI is the second most strategic goal of the agency. Unquote. So if you haven't been aware of what's been happening in this regard over the last 4 years, here's an article from the Daily Wire that explains it. Biden-Harris administration pushed far-left ideology with 500 DEI actions, from the DHS to NASA to the DOD. Federal entities created equity action plans pushing woke DEI ideology. Quote from the article, the Biden-Harris administration has implemented diversity, equity, and inclusion policies throughout the federal government, according to a new report. The administration has taken steps to ensure that DEI infiltrates every nook and cranny of the federal government, from healthcare agencies to national security. On day one of his administration, President Biden issued Executive Order 13985, entitled Advancing Racial Equity and Support for Underserved Communities Throughout the Federal Government. Over 80 federal entities took DEI actions, though some were particularly prolific. The Department of Homeland Security and the EPA took our plan 13 and 22 respectively, while NASA took and planned 26 DEI actions, including holding its first virtual LGBTQI vendor equity forum. The Department of Agriculture took and planned 21 DEI actions, including reimagining many of our food and agricultural programs from an indigenous perspective. This report comes as former President Donald Trump has pledged to reverse the woke takeover of the federal government and urges Congress to establish restitution funds for those unjustly discriminated against by these destructive policies. So the Trump administration sees DEI for what it is, discrimination against Christian morality. And please don't be like so many others who are deceived into thinking DEI is simply about hiring government workers that reflect America's racial diversity. No, it's a label under which transgenderism and LGBTQ ideology can be promoted, under the guise that there needs to be moral equivalency, equity and inclusion of LGBTQI. So the point I'm making here is that the rage on the left is over a setback in regard to their moral ideology. It's all about transgenderism, LGBTQ, abortion, which really reflects a deeper subconscious disdain for God and his moral law. I mean, there are many Americans who are not trans and they're not LGBTQ and they're not particularly enthusiastic about abortion, but they still identify with that spirit of rebellion. 1 John 4, the spirit of the Antichrist, who you heard is coming and is now already in the world. After Trump's victory, the governor of Illinois, Pritzker, vowed to make Illinois a sanctuary state where children can get sex change operations. Why? Because he's totally enamored with and invested in human autonomy and the ideology that people should be able to choose their own gender rather than gender being determined by God. Now, I know that you know that this rage against Trump is based on wrong worldview, moral beliefs. But again, I want to point this out so that you're not overly deluded by all of the smokescreen arguments, those secondary arguments, which I'm going to now cover briefly. First, the left is claiming that they're enraged because Donald Trump in the White House means the end of democracy. And we know what this means, that the left is now all for democracy and opposed to totalitarianism because they can now define democracy as moral license or immoral license, and that the will of the people should come above the moral law of God, and that conservatism and its emphasis on the rule of law can now be depicted as oppression and totalitarianism. But here's the irony. The left, which alleges to now be all about freedom from totalitarianism, then turns around and is enraged when the totalitarianism of the deep state is threatened. The American people voted to reduce the bloated, costly, over-regulation federal government, which is by definition stopping totalitarianism, and now the left is in a panic. Here's an interesting article from CPAC entitled "The Left's Claim to a Guardrail-Free Trump Presidency Are Misguided: How the Supreme Court's Loper Decision Protects America." And I can't emphasize enough that one must understand the Loper decision if one is to understand what Trump and the conservatives are planning for Washington. The federal government has been operating on a previous Supreme Court ruling from 1984 called the Chevron deference, where individual government agencies can create laws without going through Congress. The Chevron ruling stated that when a statute from Congress is ambiguous. Courts should defer to an agency's reasonable interpretation rather than sending the law back to Congress for clarification. And this is how the left has been able to expand Title IX to include transgenderism. As the article states, on its face, this Chevron doctrine may sound harmless, perhaps even sensible. After all, who better to interpret technical law than the agencies tasked with enforcing them? In practice, however, Chevron became a blank check for agencies to expand their power far beyond what Congress intended. Over time, agencies used Chevron deference to push regulatory boundaries, asserting authority in areas that Congress never explicitly delegated. These regulatory sprawls led to a vast administrative state capable of shaping every aspect of American life, from energy and environmental policies to healthcare, education, and beyond. Unquote. But now the Supreme Court overturned Chevron. All of these regulations created by these government agencies are legally null and void. Congress now has a blank check to overturn almost all regulatory law and agencies. Congress, our elected representatives, get to make the law. But of course, what's the left now doing? Trying to overturn the Loper decision because they don't want Congress to make the law. That would be democracy. They'd rather have deep state totalitarianism. And yet they accuse Trump and the Republicans of being totalitarians. And this is actually a political strategy to accuse your opponent of what you're actually doing. So this is another reason why the left is enraged over election results. They really don't want true democracy. There was an interesting survey before the election that asked people why they are voting for Trump. And Kamala's campaign was all about restoring democracy. And the American people did agree with that platform. But it backfired on the Democrats because more people, when surveyed, said that Donald Trump will do more to restore democracy than Harris. The Democrats made democracy a main issue, and the public responded to that reminder by electing Donald Trump. Well, another cause for rage is Trump's promise to reduce the size of government. And you know all about Elon Musk and Vivek forming a private committee called the Department of Government Efficiency. And this committee will advise the administration on areas the government can cut spending. Elon Musk, when he took over Twitter, laid off 80% of the workers. Because Twitter is a computer program and it works all by itself. The need for staff is limited. Twitter was losing money. Musk made it profitable. Well, the left is afraid that Elon will do the same to their comfortable government jobs. Separate a man from his golden goose, and he's going to be angry. Even if someone is making money unjustly by force, making money off of others by the power to tax, they'll be angry when they lose that advantage. Now, righteous people are more than willing to let go of jobs that are wasteful and unnecessary. But unrighteous people protest. They complain. You know, they seek for ways to hold on to that injustice. And many Americans are really living in a fantasy world. They believe the government can continue to pay for all of these government employees making six figures. The federal government collects $4.5 trillion and yet spends $6.5 trillion. And that has to stop. We have to cut $2 trillion from the budget. Either we have a little bit of pain now by holding ourselves accountable to economic law, or we have complete financial meltdown in the near future. But the left doesn't believe this, or they don't want to believe this. In the same way they support social moral lawlessness, they support economic lawlessness because they don't believe in any rules. And as I've said many times before, evil is parasitic. It always has to attach itself to the good, socially or economically, to survive. The prodigal son was living off of his righteous father's wealth. But when he had to create his own wealth, then his evil partying days were over. You know, just reducing the size of government and government grants is just going to reduce the power of evil in America. And with the Trump administration, for the first time, we're actually hearing from social leaders that our government is corrupt, especially in regard to financing. Now, we all knew this, but this is the first time it's getting a lot of public attention. And that's a good thing. And all of Trump's cabinet appointees believe that the government is bloated, unconstitutional in its size and in its outreach. It must be cut down. Elon Musk said that his role in Trump's efficiency department is going to be a revolution. The next point, the left is also enraged because Trump's victory means a change in foreign policy. Marco Rubio has been chosen to be the new Secretary of State, and he's a major supporter of Israel. Check this video out.
Senator Rubio, will you call for a ceasefire?
No, I will not.
Gaza?
On the contrary.
Senator Rubio, please.
Are you filming it? So I want you guys to get this. I want them to destroy every element of Hamas they can get their hands on. These people are vicious animals who did horrifying crimes. And I hope you guys post that.
And what about the civilians that are being killed every day?
Hamas should stop hiding behind civilians, putting civilians in the way. Hamas knew that this was going to lead to this. So Hamas should stop building their military installations underneath hospitals.
So you don't care that 15,000 have died? You don't care about the babies that are being killed every day?
I think it's horrifying. I think it's terrible. And I think Hamas is 100% to blame. That's what I think. Make sure you post that, please.
Notice Rubio has a clear, decisive moral compass. There is no moral equivalency between Israel and terrorist groups like Hamas or Hezbollah or ISIS. And Trump has also chosen Mike Huckabee, a solid Christian, an evangelical supporter of Israel, to be the new U.S. ambassador to Israel. I'm sure he never imagined that he would have that position. So there'll be no more talk of the left's two-state solution. And I expect that we'll see an elimination of much Palestinian resistance to Israel's sovereignty during the Trump administration. And I hope that maybe Jordan will open its door to Palestinians who don't want to live in Israel. Now, since the left has an inexplicable anti-Semitism and really an inexplicable support for the totalitarianism of Islam, even these appointments further anger the left. Now, in regard to the military, Trump has chosen Pete Hegseth to be the new Secretary of Defense. Hegseth is a born-again Christian. He had a few rough years, but he came back to God and started attending a solid church a couple of towns over from me, Colts Neck Community Church, and Christians in Central Jersey all know about that ministry and the pastor. Hegseth has since moved to Tennessee and is now attending another solid church down there. A church that I believe is associated with Doug Wilson's Christian nationalism movement. And so that's an amazing turn of events. Our Secretary of Defense confesses that Christ is King and that all nations must do homage to the Son. Psalm chapter 2, verse 12. This week I was sent a video regarding RFK Jr., who has been appointed to lead the Department of Health and Human Services. The video was about his faith. Quote, he said, in 1983, I was really broken. I surrendered to God at that point. When the chips are down, God is really very present at that point. We need to do what we need to do to invite him into our lives and surrender to his will. When life is getting good again, my inclination is when the cash and prizes start to flow in, is to say, thank you, God, I've got it from here. And then take the wheel of the car and drive it off the cliff again. And then I need to get on my knees once more. And that's the challenge. So much about addiction is about the abuse of power, and it's about following self-will. God gives us this gift of time, and he breaks it down into manageable units called days. And every day we get to try again to live a perfect life of perfect surrender. It's a challenge for all of us in how we are to stay in the posture of God's will rather than self-will. Unquote, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. When I saw that video this week, my first response was, no wonder. Even though he's coming from a diehard Democrat background, he has been gradually moving toward the right. Because he has as his moral foundation that decisions are made by God's will, not by man's will. And it reminds me so much of what C.S. Lewis wrote in Mere Christianity, that people want to see the whole world divided into two camps, Christians and non-Christians, and that all of the people in the first camp at any given moment should be obviously nicer than all of the people in the second. But that's not how the world works. People are not 100% Christian and 100% non-Christian. There are people, a great many of them, who are slowly ceasing to be Christian, but who still call themselves by that name. And there are other people who are slowly becoming Christians, though they do not yet call themselves so. Now, C.S. Lewis is not there denying the doctrine of the new birth and conversion. What he's explaining is the process of sanctification, where the saved person is gradually going in the right direction, and the unsaved person is moving further into darkness, further destroying the image of God that had been left in him. What matters in life is which direction you're going. That will determine what things and events in life ultimately cause you joy or rage. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 15. The exercise of justice is joy for the righteous, but it's a terror to the workers of iniquity. Thanks for listening. Subscribe, like, share, leave a comment below, and may Jesus Christ reign.